Question of the week from the Naked Scientists.
Hello and welcome to Question of the Week. I'm James Titko. Today's question comes in from listener Andrew.
Hi, it's Andrew in Cambridge. We have a holiday home in a French ski resort at 1,650 metres above sea level. And everyone who visits experienced, I'm going to call them high-definition dreams, dreams with much more detail than they normally experience when they're in Cambridge. Does altitude affect dreams? And do mountaineers who go much higher notice the same effect?
Thanks, Andrew. You and your guests are not alone. Mountaineers have long reported vivid dreams at high altitudes, and there may well be a psychological component to this. Mountains have been a timeless source of mythological material, places where ancient gods or dragons reside, and for those of us who don't see it a lot, there's something magical and atmospheric about snowy landscapes. This heightened sensory experience could well be playing a part in those high-definition dreams. But there's almost certainly more to it than that, and it's worth focusing on the thinner, less oxygenated air at high altitudes to probe your question. Here to help me is Andrew Murray, Professor of Metabolic Physiology at the University of Cambridge.
Thanks, James. Sleep disturbances are very common at high altitude, particularly when we first arrive and are relatively unacclimatized. In a large part, this is caused by our erratic breathing patterns, which are most obvious at night when we surrender conscious control of our breathing. Essentially, there's a tussle going on between two different and somewhat opposing sensory mechanisms. One set of chemoreceptors in a cluster of cells called the carotid body pick up on low oxygen levels in our arterial blood and send signals to our brain urging us to breathe more rapidly to bring more oxygen into our lungs. So far, all very sensible, but breathing harder also means that we exhale more carbon dioxide, making our blood less acidic. A second set of chemoreceptors senses that our cerebral spinal fluid is getting progressively more alkaline and puts the ventilatory brakes on, causing our blood oxygen levels to fall again before the cycle continues. This is a well-known phenomenon called Chain-Stokes breathing and is also seen in patients with heart disease. At altitude, it's not uncommon to wake with a start following a period of apnea, complete cessation of breathing, and a feeling that we're suffocating. Of course, this can also be highly disruptive for the person that we're sharing a bed or a tent with.
This would explain why you might wake with a start during the first nights spent at altitude. But why might this lead to more vivid dreams? Well, to answer that, we need to think about our brains during sleep. We're accustomed in healthy sleep to cycles of four progressing stages lasting about 2 hours in total, from light transitional sleep to deeper sleep, culminating in rapid eye movement or REM sleep.
Rapid eye movement sleep is when we do our vivid dreaming. So does this suggest that a greater proportion of our sleep at high altitude is in this lighter phase? Well, quite the opposite, in fact. When tested experimentally, investigators found that not only does overall sleep duration fall at altitude, but the proportion of our sleep, which is REM sleep, also falls. Instead, it may be that we are more susceptible to sudden waking during this relatively light sleep stage, cutting short our time spent in REM sleep, but enhancing recollection of our dreams in the process, perhaps because they are within touching distance of our waking consciousness.
There you have it, Andrew. I hope that answers your question. Thanks to Andrew Murray, Professor of Metabolic Physiology at the University of Cambridge, for helping us with the answer. Next time, we'll be answering this question from listener George. He writes, I used to chew a lot of gum, probably on average over a pack a day. I developed tinnitus a couple of years ago and was told nothing could be done. However, when I stopped chewing gum, my tinnitus stopped, and when I started chewing gum a lot again, it came back. Why might this be the case? Well, I'm sorry to hear that, George. Let's see if we can find an answer for you. Remember to have your say on this and all of our other questions on our forum. Log on to nakedscientists.com/forum. And be sure to drop us a line if you have a question of your own. It's chris@thenakedscientists.com. Until next time, from me, James Titko, thanks for listening and goodbye. Thank you.
Question of the Week is part of the Naked Scientists podcast. Look us up online at nakedscientists.com.